The word utopia, utopia, is defined by the dictionary as an ideal place or society, a place that is free from poverty, suffering, a place where there is perfect government and perfect societal conditions. Synonyms include Camelot, Eden, Heaven, Never Never Land, Paradise, Promised Land, and Shangri-La. But the actual word utopia was coined back in 1516 by the English humanist Sir Thomas More. He wrote a book which he titled Utopia. And the book compared the social and economic conditions in Europe with those in an ideal society on an imaginary island located off the coast of the Americas. And More, in that book, wanted to imply that the perfect conditions on this fictional island could never really exist. So he called the place Utopia, which is a combination of two Greek words, ou, which means no or not, and topos, which means place. There's no place that's perfect on this earth. There's no place where you can find perfection. It's never existed. Man throughout the centuries has ventured to create the perfect society. But every attempt of man has failed miserably. Some are comical, like the attempt up in Washington State. They created a town back in the day they called Hometown, where there was not going to be any laws. So you could just do what you wanted to do, as long as you didn't hurt anybody else, you know. You could just do your thing. But some people in Hometown decided they didn't want to wear clothes. So they decided they wanted to go nude, not just at home. They wanted to walk down the street and go skinny dipping in the lake. Well, there's some other people in Hometown that didn't quite like that because they thought, I don't want to be walking down the street and see people with everything hanging out. So there arose a division between the nudes and the prudes. And there was such a division that the town just went out of existence. I mean, some are kind of comical, people trying to create a utopia. Others are tragic, like Jonestown, where over 900 people ended up drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, with cyanide, stricken with cyanide. But wherever man has tried to create a utopia, it has always failed miserably. Because wherever man goes, sin goes. There's sin. And where you have sin, you will never have perfection. Wherever you have men ruling over other men, in the end, you know what you get? The swamp. That's what you get when you have men ruling over other men. And all the attempts to bring about a utopia have failed. Now, having said that, one day, perfection is coming to earth. And what I mean by that is the perfect Son of God is coming to this planet. He is coming, and he is going to rule over this world. And when Jesus comes, we saw that last week, you remember? How's he going to come? He's going to come victoriously. He's going to come personally. He's going to come visibly. And he's going to come down to this planet. And he's coming down and he's going to rule in this world. And when Jesus is on earth, and when he's in control, we are going to get as close to perfection as you can get on this planet while there's still people with sin natures. What a day, what a change is going to take place when Jesus comes back to this earth. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And if you take your Bibles, open them up to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation, the book of Revelation chapter 20. And I want to read verses 1 through 10 of chapter 20. What is it going to be like when Jesus is in charge? Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 through 10. Look what's going to be going on. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon and the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Lord, we were coming to this portion of Scripture. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes so that we might behold wonderful things out of your word today. We pray that we know Scripture, all Scripture is profitable. And Lord, we want to pray that you would use this Scripture to encourage us today and to, in light of what we learn and what we see in the Word of God today, help us to live for Christ now, we pray. Do a work in our lives, Lord. Help us not to be just hearers of the word, but doers also. We pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. 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 Well, what's it going to be like when Jesus comes back? What's it going to be like when Jesus is in charge? When earth is under new management? Well, it's called the millennium. It's called the millennium. And our text reveals 7 specific things that are going to happen when Christ comes back to earth. First one, Satan restrained. Satan restrained. Folks, there can be no millennial reign until Satan is taken out of the way. You see there in verses 1 through 3, an angel comes down with a chain, lays hold of the devil, called here by 4 names. The first one, he's called the dragon, revealing his ferocity and how he works through fear and intimidation and scare tactics. I'll tell you, Satan tries to get us to fear. And that's one of his ways of working in our lives. He's the dragon. He is called here the old serpent, revealing his subtlety and his poisonous nature. He's a liar, but he's subtle. He's subtle. He's called the devil, which means the accuser. And he accuses the brethren day and night. I'll tell you, I talked to 2 people this week that that called and talked to me and said, you know what? I'm under condemnation. I feel condemned. And they were actually, Satan was accusing them. They were accusing them. He's the accuser of the brethren. And then he's called Satan, which means adversary. Adversary. And make no doubt about it. Make no bones about it. We are in a war today. We have an adversary. The devil. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's out against us as Christians. He's out against our families. He's out against our children. We have an adversary. But at the beginning of the millennium, the devil is bound and thrown into the bottomless pit, into the abyss. Now, there are those who teach that Satan is now bound. This happened, that Satan has been bound. At the cross, he was bound, and Satan has been thrown into the bottomless pit already. Well, let me say, that doesn't mesh with my experience, nor is it good theology. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith. Amen. We have an adversary. I'm saying that was written, by the way, after the cross. Let me say this. At the cross, Satan was defeated. He was defeated. But he is alive and well on planet Earth. He's a defeated enemy. But he's still a powerful enemy. On earth is not his equal, as the hymn says. Paul said it this way, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. Your enemy is not your husband or your wife or your kids or your boss. What we fight against is spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And Paul wrote that after the cross. For those that say, you know, Satan's bound now. I don't get that. One day, Satan will be bound. One day, at the beginning of the millennium, he'll be bound and thrown into the bottomless pit. And when it says here, Satan will be bound, it means Satan and all his men, all his minions. It's kind of like when we say Alexander the Great conquered the world at the age of 33. We don't mean just Alexander by himself. We mean Alexander and his armies. And when it says here, Satan is bound, it means Satan and all his men are incarcerated during the millennium. And by the way, I believe it says that in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 21. Listen to what it says. This is after the tribulation. It says, so it will happen in that day that the Lord will punish the host of heaven on high. They will be gathered together like prisoners in the dungeon, and they will be confined in prison. That's the host of heaven. That's Satan and all his demons. When the millennium begins, Satan is restrained. He's incarcerated. All of his influence, all his deception, all the false accusations, all his lies, all his temptations are removed. All his mischief, all his murder, all his immorality are no more. Praise God. Satan, what a day that's going to be when he is incarcerated. He's restrained. But a second thing we have here that's going to happen. Satan will be restrained, but saints will be raised. See it in verses 4 through 6. All true believers in Christ will be raised. Verses 4 through 6 speak of the first resurrection. But that first resurrection, folks, has stages. There's stages. Christ is the first fruits. You remember 1 Corinthians 15:20? says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. Christ was the first fruits of the first resurrection. Then those saints at the rapture, when Christ comes back in the air, it says that he will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the what? The dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus will we ever be with the Lord. That's the second phase of the first resurrection. Then there will be saints at the end of the tribulation. The Old Testament saints are going to be raised up. Daniel chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. In Daniel chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, it says, at that time, your people, Daniel, everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. So the Old Testament saints will be raised. And then here in verse 4, it says those who died during the tribulation, the tribulational saints that died because of their testimony for Christ, they will be raised. That is all the first resurrection. And blessed are you who partake of the first resurrection. You know why? The second death has no power over you. Praise God. If we're saved, we're going to be raised. We'll be raised. The saints will be raised up. A third thing that will happen, the Savior will reign. Oh, praise God. Verses 4 and 6 speak of the reign of Christ on earth. It says twice there, they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. The first time Jesus came, he came to be our Savior. Right? Second time he comes to be our sovereign. The first time he came to bear the cross. The second time he comes to wear the crown. The first time he came to redeem. The second time he comes to reign on earth. And it says here that he will reign on earth. He will reign for 1,000 years. And folks, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Now, some who deny the earthly reign of Christ say that this is the only place in the Bible where it talks about Christ's millennial reign, reigning on earth. Is that true? That you couldn't be further from the truth. It talks all over the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, that Jesus Christ is going to come back and reign on earth. Let me give you a couple of verses on that. Old Testament, Jesus reigned. Isaiah 9:6 says, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government shall be on his shoulders. On his shoulders. It says in Isaiah 24, verse 23, it states that for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and his glory will be before the elders. Isaiah 11:4, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth, and he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. In the New Testament, when the angel came to Mary and told her she was going to bear a child, he said this. He said, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. It's predicted that the reign of Christ on earth is predicted all over the Old Testament. It's predicted in the New Testament that Jesus is going to come and reign. Now, when they say this is the only place in the Bible where it talks about the millennial reign of Christ, I think what they're saying is that this is the only place in the Bible where the duration of his reign is mentioned. And that is true. That is true. It mentions here he will reign for how long on earth? 1,000 years. 1,000 years. By the way, 6 times. In verses 1 through 7, 6 times it says 1,000 years. That's why we refer to this as the millennium, right? The Latin is milli, 1,000 and annum year, 1,000 years. Christ will reign 1,000 years. And then somebody says, but he really won't, Pastor. That's symbolic. And I say, well, what is it symbolic of? And you know what they say? They say, it means a long time. Well, then I say, if God wanted to say that Jesus was coming back to earth and he was going to reign literally on earth for 1,000 years, how would he say it? He would say it just like he says it here in Revelation chapter 20. I believe that he's coming back literally. He is going to reign literally on earth for 1,000 years. His government will not be a democracy. It will be a theocracy. Revelation 19, 15 and Psalm 2, 9 says he will reign with a rod of iron. Sin will have had its day. Transgressions will be finished. Now righteousness will reign. The law of God, listen, the law of God will be supreme. People will follow God's law or be swiftly punished. There will be zero tolerance of sin. Zero tolerance of sin. Now, to the righteous, that's going to be heaven on earth. But to the unrighteous, that's going to be hell on earth. That is going to be miserable. You know, to two different groups. It reminded me when I went into the army and I was in basic training and we met our drill sergeant. He sat our troop down in this room, 50 in our platoon, sat us down, and here's what he said. For the next 10 weeks, had his hat on, for the next 10 weeks, I'm going to make your life hell. And everybody goes, oh. He said, I'll tell you what, there's no drinking and there's no smoking in the barracks. And everyone went, oh, no. And I'm thinking, that's not too bad. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and glad, I hate smoke, and so that's not too bad. And we're going to go to bed every night at 9 o'clock, lights out. And you're going to get up at 4:30 in the morning. Oh, you know what? I like to go to bed early. And at that time, I like to get up real early. Now it's getting a little later, but I like the morning. I like the morning. And I'm thinking, well, that's not too bad, you know? And he went through all these things, and I'm thinking, hey, this is not bad. I mean, this is kind of bare. He said, we're going to work out. We're going to work you. We're going to get you in good shape. I like to work out. We're going to run. We're going to do push-up. Yeah, I love that. And everybody's like, oh, no. Oh, this is terrible. To them, it was hell. And I'm thinking, this ain't too bad. You know, this kind of like, in the millennium, when Jesus Christ is rolling to the righteous, heaven on earth. To those who are unrighteous, oh man, distress, trouble. This is distressing. This is troubling. You say, wait a second, unrighteous? During the millennium? Oh yeah. You see, people that go into the millennium, they are going to be saved. But they are going to have unredeemed bodies. And they are going to have children. And there's going to be the greatest population explosion that's ever happened on planet Earth during the millennium. They're going to populate the Earth. But there's going to be a lot of people walking around in unredeemed bodies with sin natures during the millennium. But they will obey Christ. He will rule with a rod of iron. Outwardly, they will obey. Inwardly, they will have rebellion in their heart. We'll see that in a minute. But Jesus Christ is going to reign on earth. With Christ on the throne, the world will experience a theocracy, a benevolent dictatorship, and righteousness will rule the day. Won't that be wonderful? What a day that's going to be. And number four, we have Satan restrained, saints raised, Savior reigns, and number four, saints reign with the Savior. The saints reign, 4 and 6. It says, and they will reign with Christ. Old Testament saints, church saints, tribulation saints will carry out his will fully and completely and swiftly. We will reign with Christ. Can you imagine that? That's awesome. We're going to reign with Jesus Christ. He doesn't need our help. I need help to rule this world. He doesn't need our help. He'll give us the awesome privilege to be a part of his government. Right now, I wouldn't want to be a part of the government. But we will have the awesome privilege to be a part of Christ's government. He will give us the privilege to be co-laborers together with him in the kingdom. That's part of our reward. He said that. He told his followers, if you're faithful in a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things. And during the millennium, the saints, we're going to reign with Christ. Wow. And number five, and I love this one. This is my favorite one, I think. Sanity restored. This world, and if you don't say amen to this, you're sleeping. This world is insane. Amen. A couple of you didn't say amen. This world is out of control. This world is insane. Things are not the way they should be. I spoke at the beginning of how man always trying to make a utopia, seeking utopia, the golden age. You know why that is? Because man knows. Man knows inside things aren't the way they should be. They aren't the way they should be in this world. And the harder man tries to bring about this, the more miserably he fails. But when Christ returns, folks, he will bring sanity. He will restore things the way they should be. What's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? It'll be a time of peace. Isaiah 9:6, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. Isaiah 2:4, they will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation will not lift up sword against nation. And they will never learn war again. Folks, you know when Christ is here and in control, there will be shalom. Shalom. You know what shalom is? It's things the way they should be. That's shalom. It's peace. It's peace. It's not going to be here until the Prince of Peace gets here. But when he comes, there will be peace. There will be no armies. There will be no police forces. There's no violence. There will be no crime. Isaiah 60:18 says, violence will not be heard again in your land. You know what the word violence is? Hamas. The Hebrew word Hamas. Not going to be any Hamas anymore, or Al-Qaeda anymore, or ISIS anymore. None of the terrorist groups, they're gone during the millennial reign. There's going to be shalom. Shalom, peace. It'll be a time of great joy. Fullness of joy is a distinctive mark of the age. The Holy Spirit will be all over this world. All over this world. There'll be glory. There'll be comfort. There'll be justice. We got to go to Isaiah. Get in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 32. Look at what Isaiah 32 says about this time. I want to show you some verses. You're gonna knock your socks off. Isaiah 32:15. Look what it says. Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fertile field, and a fertile field is considered as a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will abide in the fertile field, and the work of the righteousness will be peace. and the service of righteousness and quietness and confidence forever, then my people will live in a peaceful habitation and in a secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places. Wow. That's something. There's going to be righteousness on earth. Full knowledge. Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3 says they'll come up to Jerusalem and Messiah is going to teach people the truth. Full knowledge. Oh, God, turn to chapter 11 of Isaiah. Turn to 11. Look what it says here. Look what it says here. Isaiah 11, and look at verses 6 through 9. Here's what it's going to be like. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little boy will lead them, and the cow and the bear will graze, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Nursing child will play by the hole of a cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, and the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water fills the sea. Wow! You guys, wow! Pastor, do you believe that literally? I do. I do. I think there's going to be perfect harmony in nature. I mean, the lion and the calf and the bear and the ox grazing together, little children playing over. I don't know why they want to play over. Den of a cobra, or I ain't getting their snakes. I don't care what it is. Even during the millennium, I'm not getting near them. But you know what? There's not going to be any violence in nature. It's going to be a time of perfect peace, shalom, the way things ought to be. That's what it's going to be like during this millennium. My, oh my, oh my, sickness will be removed, healing of the deformed, no blindness, no deafness, no speech impediments, no lame, they'll all be healed. Turn to Isaiah 29. Look at this, to Isaiah 29. There's so much about this here. Isaiah chapter 29, look at this. Because oh my, Isaiah 29 and verse 18 through 21. Look what it says. On that day, the deaf will hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted will also increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless will come to an end, and the scorner will be finished. Indeed, all who are intent on doing evil will be cut off. Look at this. Who cause a person to be indicted by a word. And ensnare him who adjudicates at the gate. They go after the judges. And defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. Boy, does that sound like something that I just have been hearing about for the last 3 weeks. Doesn't it? There's not going to be any circus anymore. Like we saw down in Washington, D.C. That, it's not going to be that anymore. They're not going to say a word. You know what? Things had to be in the Old Testament confirmed by 2 or 3 witnesses. And they had to be reliable witnesses. They didn't just take somebody that adjudicated at the gate, a judge, and make accusations against them and play the games. That stuff, not going to happen during the millennium. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. No, it's going to be no racial discrimination, no oppression, no abuse, no feeble-mindedness. There will be economic prosperity. Everyone will have their needs met. No hunger. It'll be a time of great beauty. Do you know the deserts are going to bloom forth with roses and flowers? It's going to be a time. Could that really happen? I'm going to tell you, go online. Back, I don't know how many years ago it was, but they had an El Nino out in Death Valley. and for 17 days it rained in Death Valley. And the desert bloomed forth. You can see pictures of it online. Beautiful flowers. The seeds are there. All it has to do is streams in the desert. And during the millennium, there's going to be streams in the desert, and the desert's going to bloom forth with all kinds of beautiful flowers. There will be a unified language, Zephaniah 3. There will be a manifest presence of God in our midst. There will be longevity of life. The righteous, by the way, the righteous may never die during the millennium. But if you die at the age of 100, it'll be like a child dying. You see, when you reach 100 in the millennium, you're not even in your teenage years. You're not even a teenager. There'll be longevity of life, Isaiah 65:20. I'll tell you, Hal Lindsey states, the prophecy guy states concerning this period, the sky will be bluer, the grass will be greener, the flowers will smell sweeter, the air will be cleaner, and man will be happier than ever dreamed possible. When Christ rules on earth, sanity will be restored. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shalom. And boy, the earth will be restored to its beauty. But then at the end, something's going to happen. Satan released. Right at the end of the millennium. Verse 3. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Verse 7. Satan will be released from his prison. And the question comes, folks, why must he be released? Why must he be released? J. Vernon McGee says it's a mystery. Dr. Lewis Spiri Schaefer, his answer to that question, why must he be loosed, is this. If you tell me why he was loosed in the first place, I'll tell you why God looses him in the second place. It's a mystery. But he will be loosed, and he will come out to deceive the nations. And this is another proof, I think, that there will be people with unredeemed bodies in this kingdom with sin natures, because Satan can deceive them and to gather them together for war. See verse 8? It mentions Gog and Magog. And I agree with many Bible commentators that say this is not the same Gog and Magog as Ezekiel 38 and 39. This is that Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39 happens during the tribulation. This happens at the end of the millennium. It's kind of like last century we had World War I and World War II. Well, Ezekiel 38 and 39 is Gog Magog 1. And this here is Gog Magog 2. He gathers them together for war. And then number 7. Sinners rebel. Do you see it in verse 9? This is almost unbelievable, folks. Sinners will rebel. The number of them is as the sand of the sea. A lot of people. Where'd they come from? Again, the greatest population explosion ever on planet Earth will happen during the millennium. People in unredeemed bodies will be having children with sin natures. And when Satan is loosed, they rebel against Christ and follow the devil, and they surround the camp of the saints in the beloved city to make war with the people of God. And fire will come out of heaven and destroy them. My, oh my, oh my. What a time the millennium's going to be. But just in conclusion, why is God going to do this? I mean, what is the purpose of the millennium? Why will Christ come to earth and reign on this earth for 1,000 years? Let me tell you why I think. Number one, in the millennium, God is fulfilling his promises and answering prayer. He is fulfilling the Abrahamic, Palestinian, and Davidic covenants, and Israel will have its kingdom. He's fulfilling promises, but he's answering prayer. Because Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. I said, pray that. That's our prayer. We pray, I want to see God's will done the way it should have been done on earth as it is in heaven. And the millennium is an answer to, first of all, the promises of God and the prayer of God's people. Secondly, in the millennium, God is demonstrating once again to the universe his divine glory. The glory of the Lord will fill this earth as the water fills the sea. Isaiah 24:3, his glory will be before the elders. And he will show us, folks, he will show the universe what this world should have been like, could have been like, if we had not rebelled against him. And what a day it's going to be. A third reason for the millennium. In the millennium, God is testing man for one last time. This test will show the utter sinfulness of man's heart. Somebody I read, one of the commentators said, the most sinful thing that anybody could ever do is when Jesus Christ comes back to earth, that people would, turn their backs and turn their guns on Jesus when he comes, like we saw in Revelation 19. Said that's the most sinful thing and most despicable thing that could ever happen. I don't think that's true. I think the most sinful thing that ever could happen is to live under the reign, the righteous, holy reign of Christ in the millennium. To see Christ, to know who he is. And then when Satan is let loose, to follow Satan. That shows how wicked the heart really is. You see, because what it does in the millennium, every excuse of man, every excuse that man uses to excuse their sin is done away with in the millennium. Well, like what? Well, we blame the devil, right? The devil made me do it. Well, the devil's not around during the millennium. He's bound. He's in the bottomless pit. Can't blame him. Well, it's my environment. I'm in a sinful environment. I'm around sinful people. That's why I sinned. Well, there's a perfect environment during the millennium, right? So it can't be the environment. The socioeconomic plight. That's why I sin. Well, everybody's going to have all their needs met during the millennium. So nobody's going to be socioeconomically deprived. Well, I just didn't know. That's why I said, just a lack of knowledge. The knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the water fills the sea. Everybody will know. Well, it's racial tension and prejudice. I'll tell you, there's going to be no racial tension or prejudice during the millennium. Every excuse that man gives to excuse their sin is going to be taken out of the way. And man will still choose to rebel. Showing us, folks, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God will show this. And show how precious, by the way, grace is. It'll be to the glory of his grace that he saved us. And then number four, why the millennium? In the millennium, God will demonstrate that a perfect environment is not the solution to man's sinful heart. The only solution to man's problem is Jesus Christ and the cross. Amen. This is the only solution to your sin. And my sin is the cross. The only. Christ died for our sin. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again. The gospel is the only solution to our sin. Or as Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell on him. And by his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep had gone astray. We'd all turned our own way. But God laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's only through Christ and the cross. Perfect environment is not a solution for anything. It's only Christ and the cross. There's no God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other, Isaiah said. There's no other. Accepting Christ, letting him reign in our hearts, is the only solution to the problem of sin. God will demonstrate that once again in the millennium. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What a day. Would you bow in prayer with me? Lord, we bow before you, and Lord, thank you so much. There's a bright day coming. There's a great day coming in the millennium. We look forward to that, Lord. But until that time, we need to serve you. We need to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's people all around us that need the Lord. Amen. And so, Lord, we would ask you, God, to continue to fill us with your Spirit in light of these things that are going to come about, in light of prophecy. Help us to live for you right now, the lives that you have called us to live. We pray, God, that you would just touch our hearts. Touch our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit. And help us to live for you. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen.